Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Maybe I'm crazy, but it's the villains that actually make those Christmas stories so memorable. Maybe I'm crazy. Welcome to Maybe I'm Crazy Podcast. I'm Joy Taylor. Hope you're having an amazing holiday week. We catch up with the crazy gang, Heller, T, and Donnie. Got to talk about Dabo and this Ohio State situation. It's delicious. The Dumb Dumb Jets finally managed to win a game and probably lost to Trevor Lawrence, which is amazing. The NBA season is back, so I give some of my predictions. It starts tonight. Can't wait. And we have a culture report with T. Coming to America 2, the trailer is out. We discuss, and I have a very good theory on it as well. But first, let's get started with the top five Christmas villains. What's up, Heller? Happy holidays.
We wish yins a Merry Christmas. We wish yins a Merry Christmas. We wish yins a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and Happy Holidays and all the other stuff. Also, inclusiveness. Hooray.
all of that. Your house looks very festive.
Yeah, we're ready. There's nowhere to go, so.
Christmas sweater, there's nowhere to go. Sorry to anyone who's listening to our podcast that doesn't live in LA. That's how Los Angeles, Angelinos greet each other now. We say, hey, there's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
That's just what we do. Like, honestly, when someone asks me who that lives here also, like, hey, like, what have you been up to? I don't sound like, I mean, it's just, you know what I've been up to. The same thing you've been up to, which is nothing. I go to work and I go home. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do. But we're healthy, and that's the most important thing.
That is. This would be a great time to be in a city, though, that had A, more trees, and B, more parks. But I'm not complaining. The weather's still nice. Through the window.
There is no B&T we're talking about. We don't know what outside is. I literally don't know what outside is anymore. I guess that's kind of on us because the parks are open, so we could technically like go hiking. I just don't have time, so which is a blessing.
Yeah, and it's not, hiking. There's still too many people there, to be honest.
Yeah, there are a lot
in LA.
Well, there's just a lot of humans in LA, which is
there's too many. Yep. Well, as far as the eye can see, there's humans.
There's humans. All right. Well, let's get started. Before we get to win it or quit it and talk about Dabo Swinney, who is just making everyone upset, and the stupid dumb Jets.
Yep.
I'm kind of wearing Jets colors. Also, I can talk all the trash I want about the Jets because I was a Jets fan for one whole year.
One whole year.
We went to the AFC Championship game. It was a great year.
Was that a Mark Sanchez year?
It was a Sanchez year.
Shouts to Sanchez. That's my guy.
It was a Sanchez year. All right. But before we get started with Would It or Quit It, we always do a list for the holidays. Brandon and I, once upon a time, did our best side dishes for Thanksgiving. My list was better, of course.
Classic.
Classic. We've done our favorite desserts. We did our favorite
food
songs.
Theme.
I think we did our favorite Christmas movies. But I figured in the spirit of 2020 being such an awful year, we should do the top five Christmas villains. Now, we also know I happen to love villains. I think they're the most important part of the story. If you want a strong story, you got to have a strong protagonist and a strong antagonist to create a good storyline. Sometimes
we're
the antagonists are theoretical. We're not going to get too crazy on everybody because I've used a lot of big words in a very short amount of time. So let's get to the top five Christmas villains. I'm going to count down 5-1 in traditional countdown fashion. Number five, Ricky Smiley from Friday After Next.
A classic character who, if you are listening to this podcast or watching us by the fire here, you have to see Friday. You don't have to have seen Friday or Next Friday. Friday After Next, pop it on during the holidays. Guaranteed for laugh. Do you like Cat Williams? Do you like Terry Crews? Do you like Mike Epps? Do you like Ice Cube? Do you like Pinky? You have to have seen the first two, or first, next Friday, I know who Pinky is, but Pinky's in it too. It is wonderful.
It is. You're right. You're totally right. It's a standalone film. You don't need to see the prequels to understand what's going on. It's a great movie. I actually might watch it tonight after NBA is over. NBA season's back.
Oof.
We didn't really have a lot of time to miss it, but it is back and I'm excited. And I might watch this after like a long sports weekends. I like to like de-sportsize with I watched Love Actually last night and cried like a loser.
I think everyone cries at Love Actually.
I know, but it's it's not a good movie to watch alone. I'll tell you that much. It's kind of like, that's not for me. All this stuff that's happening in this TV is not for me, especially in quarantine. But Friday after next would be a good watch. I also watched Santa Claus 2, which is underrated. All right, number four, another movie I watched this weekend, as I'm binging Christmas movies, is one of the greatest Christmas movies of all time, considered by many to be the greatest Christmas movie of all time. I would disagree, but it is up there. And that is A Christmas Story, and Scott Farkas is number four on the Christmas movie villain list. Scott Farkas, if you remember, is the yellow-eyed, weird bully kid that eventually gets his ass beat in true bully fashion by Ralphie. But Scott Farkas is a good, solid villain.
So I clearly didn't prep for this. I just looked up who Scott Farkas is. This feels like an anti-ginger take. As a half-ginger, let me just say that this take feels like it's a direct attack on my freckles. But he does have the Davy Crockett hat, so he's looking pretty sketch.
He is sketch, and he's bad. Like, you can tell he's just a bad kid who needs his ass beat. And Ralphie beats his ass, and his mom vouches for him like a good mom should. When you beat up the bully, absolutely, you don't tell your father, you don't tell the disciplinarian in the house, because you know what? Yep. Like, if you get your ass beat as a child, you act different as an adult. I firmly believe that. I stand by that take. Yeah. Like, if you know at any point it is a possibility that you have hands put on you, you behave differently around other people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just knowing that there's a, your parents are like other human beings, that they have a switch that if flipped, you don't want to see what change of light is. It's important.
In the neighborhood and you said the wrong thing to the wrong person, and then you find out, oh, like, I can't just behave however I want to around anybody that I want to behave like that around. It changes you. So Scott Farkas is number four. Number three, a classic villain, an anti-hero, if you might. But we'll put him on the villain list because he's very mean. And in a time like this, would be definitely considered to be one of the worst villains of all time.
Yep.
That is Scrooge. Scrooge was an awful, greedy man. And he had his heart changed in the very end. But for most of the story, he was awful. And he is number three. And he's like an OG villain. Right. Like, it's like a book villain.
I mean, he's such a villain that he needed ghosts to push him in the right direction.
Yeah. Yes. He needed spirits from beyond to get him right.
Right. Also, real quick before we move on from Scrooge, his first name is Ebenezer, right?
Yes, I believe it's Ebenezer Scrooge.
Doesn't Ebenezer sound like a dope hipster name?
It's definitely, there are definitely hipsters walking this earth with the name Ebenezer, yes. And really, if you name your child Ebenezer, are you giving them a choice in life to be anything but a hipster?
You either got to be a hipster or a Scrooge if your name is Ebenezer, for sure.
You've got two options in life. All right, number two on the all-time villain list is everyone's top five for Christmas movies, which is Home Alone.
Has to be.
The Wet Bandits, number two.
Pure comedy. Pure physical comedy. What they endured for our laughs, thank you.
And you know what? They kind of gave you this idea as a kid, which was a terrible idea, that you would be able to outwit two adults who are trying to murder you with like a TV and some string and stuff.
Yep, totally.
And like, where did they find a tarantula? Why do you have a tarantula? Just like, you people just let their kids have tarantulas? Like, that's a thing?
Cool. Yeah, kids named Ebenezer have tarantulas.
There was no Ebenezer in Home Alone. But they were rich, I guess. The Wet Bandits is definitely like, when you close your eyes and think of Christmas villains, Wet Bandits immediately.
There they are.
I was gonna pull a move and slide Trump from Home Alone 2 in the villain list. But he doesn't come to mind immediately. He's definitely in the top 20.
What?
For sure.
What a callback. He'd honestly be stoked that you remembered he was in the movie. So let's be honest.
I might be giving out fake news right now, but that's a thing in 2020. Actually, for the past 4 years. I believe I read somewhere he forced his way into that movie or paid his way into the movie. I don't know.
Look, I don't need proof to believe that.
Yeah, continue. I mean, of course not. But listen, we're a little less than a month away from never having to say his name again.
I'm fine.
Geraldo said it's over, so there's one more.
We're good. Thanks, Geraldo.
All right, number one on the top five Christmas villains list is none other than everyone's favorite green guy, the Grinch.
Who absolutely the Grinch? Shouts to Jim Carrey.
Again, probably another anti-hero because he does flip in the end. But, you know, with all good villains, they have redeemable qualities. That's kind of what makes them good villains. If you're just pure evil, no one can really relate to you, you know? So you got to have something about you that's like, you know what, I sort of understand why they're like that. And the Grinch was bullied because he was different. He was green and he was hideous. And he just became a grumpy, miserable person because other people picked on him. So it made sense.
That honestly, I got a ring at the doorbell. I think that's the Grinch and he's here. So I'll get that in a second. But what I was going to say was, that sounds like the story of the Joker. Stop ringing.
Well, that sounds like it's a package, so you should probably go get it. Would you like to go get it?
Yeah, let me go get it. Yeah.
A few minutes later.
It was the Grinch. He brought me a lump of coal. That's what Santa does. Or no, that's what Santa doesn't do
Santa,
that.
Santa brings you coal.
I don't know.
If you're on the naughty list. You're right. The Grinch is similar to the Joker, except for the Grinch doesn't then go murder everyone.
Right, but you said earlier that every villain has like a redeemable quality.
Right, yeah.
And the Joker's redeemable quality is obviously dope makeup and dancing. So that's pretty cool.
I think that the Joker's redeemable quality is that he's an outcast who gets picked on and people can relate to that. But yes, awesome dancer and interesting makeup. The Grinch is number one on the top five Christmas villains. Amazing movie, unbelievable performance by Jim Carrey. Also an OG character, because remember there was the original How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Also a book. There's been several Grinch movies since then. None as good as Jim Carrey's performance, but that movie's like kind of old now too. It's crazy.
Yep.
It's wild.
And the Grinch is a really unique. It's a book.
Yeah.
And it's also a movie. And it's also Christmas. That's not true of very many things, I don't think.
Some. But yes, he is the best. He's the best villain. I don't want to say most relatable. Yeah, probably most relatable. Most relatable. It's understandable how people could get tired of like the Christmas frantic spending money. And it has a good message. It has a good message. The Grinch story.
Donnie, if you don't turn joy green right now in this video, I don't know what we're doing.
Max, get my clock.
We about to turn up in this bitch.
Win it or quit it.
Hey, here we are. We're back. All right, speaking of villains, Clemson coach Dabo Sweeney, who sort of looks like a Who from Whoville also, was all in his Grinch bag when he tried to steal the playoff from Ohio State. Dabo ranked Clemson's current college playoff opponent 11th in his ballot and gave that game the juice it so desperately needed. Joy, Dabo's heel turn saved this year's college football playoff. Win it or quit it.
Oh, win it. Win it. Dabo knows what he's doing. Okay, listen, this is the thing. Dabo, he thinks he's slick, but I'm on to him. As we just went over, I like villains. Okay. I think that they make everything interesting. And there's a couple things going on here. One, he's not entirely wrong, right? It's not Ohio State's fault they only played six games, but they have only played six games. Okay?
Right. Right.
Two, Clemson beat Ohio State last year. So he ain't tripping. They already won.
Yep.
They beat this team already.
Yep.
So that's two. Three, the way that Texas A&M has performed, he knows, like, those fans are going to love that. They're going to eat that up. It's going to cause all this controversy. Ohio State fans are crazy. They're going to be mad at him. So it's selling the fight completely, to your point. Like, this was kind of an uninteresting game. We've already seen this. Why do I care about this? I don't care. And Alabama is going to roll Notre Dame. No offense, Notre Dame, but it's going to be Roll Tide all up, all over the place. Okay, it's just all my money's going on Bama. Clemson, Ohio State, I still think Clemson's going to win big, but it just really wasn't like that interesting, especially coming off the performance that Justin Fields had against Northwestern and the rest of his team had against Northwestern. Now, I know his hand was not great, whatever, but like...
He needs to redeem himself.
Without that running game, they were not. They probably would have lost.
Right.
Like, without an all-time record-setting performance, they would have lost. So,
To Northwestern.
He's become... Dabo has the villain of college sports, and he's cool with that. Also, Dabo's not tripping because Trevor Lawrence was out with COVID this year, and we saw DJ Uiagalelei out there, and he's clearly going to step right in and pick up where Trevor Lawrence left off, at least in college anyway. So he's not worried. Most programs are going to have a little bit of a step back when someone like Trevor Lawrence leaves. Let me look at LSU. Clemson doesn't have that. So... Dabo can be out here stunting and flexing all he wants. He knows he's good. He's Gucci. He ain't tripping. So he's going full McGregor, and he's going all in on being the villain. It's great for recruiting because any kid that likes a stunt is going to love that. Dabo sticks up for his players. Sure. They're great. And you know what? He's doing a little bragging. Like and the best part of a good bragger is there's some truth to what they're saying. Like, you can make the argument that Ohio State shouldn't be there. Now, the eye test says that they should, but you can make the argument legitimately that they shouldn't be there. And so that just adds to the juice, because if he was just out here saying egregious things, it would be like, all right, like, I mean, have a little respect.
Yeah.
But in this situation,
you
know, he's not entirely wrong. So I'm all for it. He's completely sold the fight. It's I can't wait to see how Ohio State comes out now. I still think they're gonna lose by more than a touchdown. But either way, I cannot wait for this game now. I need Alabama to do something rude so I can get in on Notre Dame and Alabama.
Well, this move does feel, obviously it's a little more there's more verbiage than we usually get from Nick Saban, but this does feel Saban-esque. This does feel a little bit like, we're better than you. And you're going to hate me for it, but here's the harsh truth. And he gave it to him. And you're right. It's a little Saban-esque. It's a little McGregor selling the fight. But it's like if Mayweather sold the fight as hard as McGregor did, because the person who's going to win is selling it. But yeah, I mean, thank you. Thank you for giving us something to talk about other than what's probably going to be two beat downs and then the same game we watch every year.
Every year. Thank you for giving it some juice, Dabo.
It was so hard to not dab every time you said Dabo. I don't know why I don't dab, but it's just like...
Thank you for not doing that.
Okay, so no dabs. All right, Joy, I've heard from many coworkers who happen to be former NFL players that it's hard to win in the NFL. The Jets look like they might go defeated, but thankfully they pulled a win together to save Frank Gore's pride and Sam Darnold's future. Joy, losing is never to be done on purpose. Win it or quit it.
Win it if you're players and coaches. Quit it if you're organizations and fan bases. And man, the Jets they're just so 2020. Like, I feel for Jets fans, because this is the worst win in the history of...
What?
It's you...
You
play to win the game, which is, and I understand it. My brother was a part of an almost 0-16 season with the Dolphins. Cleo Lemon to Greg Camarillo saved the day against the Brian Billick coached Baltimore Ravens. It was wonderful. I cried. It was amazing. So I get it from a player's perspective and a coach's perspective. 100%, you play to win the game, but from fans' perspective, you've got to be furious. You went through this season, dealt with Adam Gase all year. It's been a disaster. All anyone can talk about is how you're just going to lose out and get Trevor Lawrence, and that's the only good part of this awful predicament that you're in. And now you lost all these dumb games, and you're not going to get Trevor Lawrence, who looks like a generational talent. Like, he's good enough to go there and make a difference right away, just like Joe Burrow did. I don't think Justin Fields is. It's a bad situation now, because you're counting on Jacksonville accidentally winning a game, which I don't think they're going to do. So it's not a good situation. Like, as far as an organization and fan base moving forward, it's the worst thing that could have happened. It's like, congrats to the players. I feel you. and the coaches, and especially you beat a really good team in the Rams. It's not even like it was a fluke. Like, you really beat them. The Rams were terrible, and you beat them. So you deserve the credit for that win. But now your consolation prize is Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence, and that's a big step down. The only way that this changes and doesn't look as bad and bleak as it does now is if Justin Fields goes out and balls out in this playoff game. Because the way he's looking after that Northwestern game is a lot of questions. He didn't do himself any favors. And again, I understand he was hurt, but it just, this is what we see. That's going to be that's our lasting memory, is that game against Northwestern, and then he doesn't play well against Clemson and they get rolled. It's going to be an awful situation for the Jets. I mean, people are already talking about possibly keeping Sam Darnold, which is just beyond a question that he was gone before this happened. So, I mean, they have an obscene amount of cap space and a million picks. So theoretically, they could build up the team, see if Sam Darnold is the guy. If he's not the guy, get another high draft pick next year. That's not sexy to any fan base. I can tell you that right now. I would not want to watch that, especially after the way that this has gone this year. I mean, Sam Darnold's regress, probably not all his fault, but fault doesn't really, no one cares about that. Care about results. So, not a good situation for the Jets, but it's the Jets. It's the goddamn Jets.
It is the goddamn Jets. I don't fully agree, though. The one thing I do agree on, I like Sam Darnold. I think that Gase is the problem, not him. And so, I'm fine with him keeping that job. And this doesn't, it's not, you know, you lose, it, let's say you were going to keep him, you lose the bargaining chip of Trevor Lawrence with the number one overall pick, which is terrible. So, that's why Justin Fields really needs to play well in the playoff, because now you have the second pick and you can leverage Justin Fields still if he plays well. If he proves he's the Justin Fields that was, you know, the second quarterback overall at the beginning of the year. And then you leverage that and you if they don't need a quarterback, they just need the two quarterbacks to play good. So if Justin Fields play good, it's fine. We're fine.
No, if Justin Fields plays well, they're going to take Justin Fields and move off of Sam Darnold, which they should do.
Oh, my God.
It's New York. It's a completely different space. This is not Wisconsin. This is not Idaho. This is New York City. And no diss to Wisconsin or Idaho. But, like, this is New York City. You don't have New York media. You don't have New York fans. And that does matter. You have to do something dramatic. Sticking with Sam Darnold is not going to fly. No matter. You can stick with Sam Darnold if you bring in Urban Meyer. That'll work. But other than that,
I would prefer that.
That's not going
to
happen.
Justin Fields at two, if I'm being honest.
It depends on how Justin Fields plays in this championship game. That's what it hinges on. I think Sam Darnold can still play, and I think he will move somewhere else and play well. But I would love to see Sam Darnold in Pittsburgh.
Or on the Niners. Both of us want Sam Darnold, but he's not good enough for the Jets?
I think sometimes situations play themselves out. Sometimes situations become too toxic. Sometimes people turn on you and you can't succeed in that environment anymore, even if leadership changes and players around you change. Like, the fan base is not going to be happy with that. The media there is not going to be happy with that. And that stuff matters. Like, Sam has not had a good year on top of that. Whether it's Gase's fault or not, he hasn't. He needs to move on. And if their consolation prize is Justin Fields and he doesn't play well in this championship game, that's going to be rough for the Jets. Like, that's just the facts.
I agree with you, I guess. This has been a tough segment overall, or a tough show so far on Gingers, though, huh? We went after Scud Farkas, and now Sam Darnold can't buy a win. The sun hates us. It's tough.
My sister has red hair.
Yeah, so that's why I'm not offended by you going after Gingers like this, but because I know you're cool with them, but like...
So did my grandmother, two of my aunts, one of my uncles, one of my cousins... We have a lot of red hair in our family.
Yep, you've lived it.
I have lived it. What's up, Donnie? Very festive.
Yes, yes. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, and Kwanzaa, and all that jazz.
Yes, happy holidays, Merry Christmas. I like the fireplace. That's a move. You know, it's just the sight of the fireplace. That's how
It's weird because it's a fireplace, a fake fireplace above a real fireplace. So it's... Doesn't make any sense.
I didn't even notice that. Yeah, it works. It works, though.
Yeah, thank you.
What's going on, Heike Loki?
The NBA season is back. Heike, it feels was just like yesterday. LeBron and AD became champs of the NBA bubble. And that's because it's only been 7 weeks. 7 weeks is basically yesterday, and a new season is here already. Low-key, with the shortened offseason and LeBron's heightened age, is this the year that we see the decline of LeBron and the ascension of a new champ in the West?
No, Loki, it is not. It does feel like we didn't have enough time to miss the NBA. Because football has been amazing this year. There's been so many good stories. But I'm glad the NBA is back, and I'm glad that it's coming back at Christmas, which it should always be starting at Christmas, instead of starting the NBA season right in the middle of the NFL season, and then for the first half of the NBA season, only NBA nuts are really following it, other than LeBron and some other big story. So it's awesome that the start of the season is going to be now. I hope they keep that moving forward. But obviously, LeBron would like some more time off, as would everyone who was in the bubble for a long time. But it's really just LeBron and the Heat that can complain. Everyone else, you had a couple extra weeks, and you got sent home early. So it's not really that big of a deal. But for LeBron, I do think they're going to be very calculated with how they play him, how often he's playing. It's also why I don't think that there's really a good chance that either LeBron or AD win the MVP this season, because they're going to be managing their time a lot. Now, I know that, you know, load management is kind of dead now, thanks to Kawhi and the Clippers, but they're going to be strategic about it. And I think they're the overwhelming favorites to repeat as champions. I don't see them falling to any of the young teams. I think LeBron is more rested, ironically, than ever. He still did have several months off in the middle of the last season. As strenuous as the bubble was, it wasn't a lot of travel. Mm-hmm. So you have to take that into consideration. And I think they're going to be right back there in the NBA Finals. And quite frankly, no other team has really shown that they deserve to be consistently in that conversation. The Clippers did not get better. I think the Nuggets and the Jazz are fun teams, but I still don't think they have enough to take down the Lakers, who I think got considerably better this offseason. So there's a lot of teams in the West to talk about. I think the Mavs are really good. But at the end of the day, I just don't think they have enough for LeBron and AD. Like, they're the champs, and until they show that they are on decline, I'm going to stick with them.
Yeah, I hear you. The fan in me wants the championship to stay in LA, but I want to see it go to the Clippers this time, just because I'm excited to see this rivalry be justified, I think, in the grand scheme. It's so one-sided right now that if you add a championship to the Clippers, I think that starts to balance things out a little bit, and that gives that rivalry a little bit more of substance.
So I think they missed their window. I would like to see that too, but I think they missed their window. And I don't like being made to look like a liar, and they made me look like a liar.
So. That's real. All right. High key, this offseason saw the Bucks lock down Giannis, the Nets return two superstars, and the reigning Eastern Conference champs, they pretty much stayed as is. Low key, could the lack of splashy moves for the Heat, could that spell doom for the hopes of returning to the NBA Finals?
I think it does, and I think that we are underestimating, unlike LeBron in AD, Jimmy Butler had to pour his entire heart and soul and had to call on the ancestors to get through that NBA Finals. I mean, we all saw that picture of him laying over the edge of the, you know, the border of the court, just completely drained. Now, obviously, you know, they didn't have Goran, and there's a lot of young guys on the team who are going to come back better. I do think they're still going to be really good, but to see Jimmy Butler do that again, Goran getting hurt was really discouraging for me, like to get, like see him through an entire season completely healthy. Do I think they're going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals again? Yes, I do think they'll be there, but I don't think they'll have enough to beat the Brooklyn Nets. And KD, who I think is going to come out of the East this year. I know everyone is very cautious about KD in his 30s, so old, coming off of
AARP.
I mean, coming off of this Achilles injury, which look, Achilles injuries are no joke, but I think he's going to be fine. And by fine, I think he's going to remind everyone that he's the second best player in the NBA right now. And at one point, a few years ago, he was the best player in the NBA. So I think that's a little too much for the Heat to overcome without a legitimate second star. Now, listen, Bam was incredible as well, and he's going to only continue to get better. But yeah, it's going to be a lot on Jimmy Butler, and he's not had a lot of rest. So while LeBron and AD are really, you know, whining and crying, Jimmy Butler is the one who I think will be affected the most by it. Love Jimmy, and I hope I'm wrong, but it just seemed like he had to pour everything into those finals to get the Heat through that. So I'd like to see him have some more time off.
And I also think where James Harden goes is kind of a wild card in things. Like that, that could end up shifting the conversation a little bit depending on his destination.
Yeah, I mean, the report today was that James Harden and the Heat are not moving forward with, you know, conversations. I know Pat Riley loves a star. I don't think James Harden, Miami, I don't know. I just, James Harden is just such a, I don't know what he's doing. Like, I know he's trying to get out of Houston, but like at what cost to your reputation? You know, like there's, I don't even want to talk, like get into some of the internet rumors today about him being at another party. And it's just like, and Miami is open. Miami and Atlanta are open. And that's like, so you're just avoiding that temptation all the time. There's no temptation in LA. Nothing is open. There's nowhere to go but home and the grocery store. So like, you're not going to get into that kind of trouble. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know how that goes, but you're right. I mean, if Harden does go to Miami, I think Miami wins the East regardless of all those issues. Cause I don't think Pat Riley's going to play that, but I also don't think he's going to end up there.
Yeah. We'll see. All right. High key, Giannis is looking to be the fourth player to win MVP in back-to-back-to-back seasons. Low key, I don't think anybody outside of Milwaukee actually wants that. No shade. Joy, who's winning MVP this year? Please don't say Giannis.
Yeah, you're right. Nobody outside of Milwaukee wants that. And also, I'm just and I'm just not interested in it. Like, I didn't think he should have won the MVP last year. Did he have an MVP season? Yes, but I thought LeBron should have won the MVP last year. It was it was it's not even like the right thing to do. He just mattered more to his team than Giannis did. Also, you know, you get knocked in the second round. It's like, I'm not interested in talking about Milwaukee as a championship contender anymore. I don't think they deserve it. I think it's nice that Giannis stayed. That's great for Milwaukee, for Bucks fans, for the East. But I just don't think it matters. Like, you guys have done absolutely nothing to prove that you're championship contenders. I'm not talking about you in that space anymore. Prove it. Get to the finals, and then we'll talk about that. Same with the Celtics. Like, you're a great regular season team. You're the Raptors. Wonderful. I don't care that you have back-to-back MVP. The fact that you have the back-to-back MVP should mean you are automatically in the Eastern Conference Finals, but they're not there.
Exactly.
So no, I don't think he's going to win the MVP, no matter what kind of season he has. And the NBA MVP, as we know, it is a storyline award. That doesn't make it any less prestigious. It's not a straight up MVP. And I think that it's going to go to Luka this year. And I mean, if Luka has anything close to the season that he had last year, which I think that he will, it's just Luka's taken the NBA by storm. He's a thrill to watch. He's an unbelievable scorer. He's tough. He hasn't taken any shit. Like, he's the future. And I think he's going to win the MVP this year, which is pretty remarkable at 21 years old.
Yeah, I'm ready for us to start picking the MVPs at the end of the season. I don't know why we have to decide so early. Like, what's the rush?
They pick it at the end of the regular season, but I just feel like they should wait until I agree they should wait till the end of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now you have the finals MVP, but like, Andre Iguodala won the finals MVP once, like that, and that's
no disrespect. That's a whole different story.
Iguodala, because he deserved it, but like it's a different award. I agree with you. I think that the entirety of the season and the playoffs should be considered. I know it's a regular season award, but I think they should change that because, I mean, how you perform in the playoffs, really, the playoffs are still part of the season.
Yeah, the most important part.
The most important part. So I agree with you. I think it should change it. But I think Luka wins it this year.
All right. High key. With the shortest NBA offseason in history, incoming rookies are going to have to adjust to the pro game a lot quicker than ever. Low key, which youngster this year is going to get it? And by it, I mean the Rookie of the Year award.
Well, I think it's going to be LaMelo Ball. He has gotten better each game throughout the preseason. He's an unbelievable passer, just like his brother, Lonzo. And he's everything that I said he was going to be. He has star quality. He's a great passer. He's going to develop into a better shooter. And once he gets around an NBA locker room and NBA environment, in the right situation, he's going to thrive. Like, that's, he's already a star. We knew that.
Yeah.
Is he going to be an NBA star? If he can put up some numbers, he will. And he's already making a buzz in this very limited preseason. I mean, they had no summer league. Like, he's already there. So I think he will, if he stays healthy throughout the whole season and puts up, you know, similar numbers to what he's doing in the preseason, I think he will win Rookie of the Year. And I'm just glad that this is all working out to LeVar's ultimate plan.
Yeah. Like,
it always makes me happy.
It's prophetic.
It is just always makes me happy.
All right. High key, the Nets are at full strength for the first time since signing KD and Kyrie two off-seasons ago. And they've dominated the headlines this off-season. Low-key, will that headline domination carry over into the regular season?
Yes, it definitely will. I am literally obsessed with the storyline this year. But I have been talking about the Nets for quite some time now. Let's keep it real.
This is not new.
I'm not new to this. I've been saying once Kyrie is healthy and once KD is healthy, we have not seen them on the court together. Let's just all calm down about dismissing the Brooklyn Nets and what they're going to be. Now, there's not going to be any defense. Okay. And that's just not very limited defensively. It is what it is. But I think they're going to just, they're always going to provide storylines and headlines. Mm-hmm. Kyrie is already on one.
Yeah, man.
As we know.
Sage.
I mean, the Sage was amazing.
Yeah, that was dope. I know you're a fan of it. You're pro Sage.
I'm pro Sage. I saged my apartment last night. You know,
it's cool.
It's the dawn of the age of Aquarius yesterday. So I had to reset the energy. A little incense, did some winter solstice yoga, and I feel very grounded right now. But yeah, Kyrie walking around the Celtics court with Sage was just manna from sports heaven to me. That was amazing.
Yeah.
I've been talking about it. It was such a wonderful gift from Kyrie. I've been talking about the Falcons and Chargers staging their facilities for how long now, Donnie?
I would say a couple of years. Forever. At least.
Forever. Yeah. I've been saying this. They don't listen. And here comes Kyrie. Fresh off of calling all the media pawns. it's so good. It's amazing. I just think it's going to be a season full of headlines for the Nets. And listen, that does not necessarily mean that they're going to win a championship, because as we know, noisy teams generally don't win championships.
But it's a little bit tougher.
I am a fan of KD. He's one of my favorite players to watch in the game. I think when Kyrie is playing at his height, he is one of the best players in the NBA. We haven't seen that in a while. So I'm excited to watch them and see what they are. And I just think regardless, it's going to be a really, really fun season.
Yeah. Can't wait to see what's next.
Always. Hey T, Merry Christmas. You look very festive. You look like you're going to a fancy holiday party.
Thanks, Joy. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. I feel like we're definitely like coordinated with the green and the red.
We look like a wreath, like ornaments. It's so different. It's so crazy to think, like, a year ago I was looking at, because I was looking to post some of our old Christmas promos. And it's just crazy to think, like, a year ago we were bopping around that room in a bunny suit, in a lamp costume, and now here we are on Skype. I haven't physically seen you. Well, we saw each other over the summer, but, like, I haven't seen you at work since when? March?
Since March, yes.
That's crazy!
No, we're coming up on a year! That's insane. This year just flew by.
We're healthy, and we're here, so let's do it. Let's do the culture report. What do we have first?
The trailer for Coming to America dropped. So Prince Akeem is back and he has a long lost son. And I'm like, wait, what? But I just can't believe it's been 32 years. As I'm like watching the trailer, I'm looking at Wesley Snipes, Arsenio Hall, Eddie Murphy, and Cherie Headley. And I'm like, yo, black don't crack. I'm like, they look good. So I'm super excited for it. I thought we were going to get like an early Christmas present and it would just drop within the next couple of days. But March 5th isn't too far away. So I can't wait to see it. What about you?
Yes, I am so excited. I saw the trailer. I am a little bit confused about the son. What part of the movie did he creep off with somebody? Okay, so I thought that Akeem was like not trying to spread his royal oats, and he, you know, he's only kicking it with Lisa McDowell. Now he's out here with this illegitimate child he hasn't been supporting all this time. I feel like I have a hunch, though. I have a hunch. Mm, you know, it's 2020. We're trying to do better. So, you know, as the king is dying, he's saying, like, he has to be the heir to the throne, has to be a son, right? So I think they already have a child, and it's his daughter. It's a daughter. And he goes back to America to find his long-lost son, but he doesn't really have one. You know what I'm saying? I think that could be it. And then he changes the role, you know, like Aladdin, and all of a sudden, you know, Jasmine can be the Sultan, you know. So, like, his daughter can then rule Zamunda. It's very choppy, but that's my theory right now. It's my working theory.
That's actually a really good theory. I actually would be here for that.
I think it's a little twist. Yeah, it's a mid twist.
Expect.
I didn't know that Akeem was out here in these streets, though. I'm upset. All this time, we thought he was just a nice little prince chasing after Lisa McDowell. But I'm very excited. I cannot wait. Coming to America is one of my favorite movies. I watch it every time it's on. I could probably quote the entire thing. And it looks legitimately funny. And, you know, sometimes sequels just like, I don't know. But they waited so long to do it. So much of the original cast is in it. It looks like they've brought in a lot of new fun characters as well. Tiana Taylor's in it. I'm just very excited. I cannot wait to see it. It looks excellent.
It does. And funny. It looks so funny.
Yes.
So E-40 and Too Short. Joy, I told you they weren't going to come to play. It was an entire party on Saturday. They were going for almost 3 hours, dropping hit after hit. Joy, this literally took me back to junior high and high school. Mom, forgive me. But it reminded me of, like, house parties with the disco lights, like, all that. The sock hop, like, when Mr. Fab came out, it was just the whole, like, I had to gather my whole life for this. Like, it was just incredible. And it was just a reminder how E-40 and Too Short have paved the way for so many rappers, and how so many rappers and people, like, really, like, rock with the Bay Area. So I loved it. Again, bias, but as I said last week, like, the Bay won, so happy.
I loved it. Now, I did not grow up with that much Bay Area music in Pittsburgh, but I do, like, look, Too Short and E-40 are international talents, so obviously I've heard their music growing up, but, you know, it is just such a unique flavor, and I loved it. And there was so much Uncle Wisdom, so much OG Wisdom. They were talking through the whole thing, telling all these stories. I'm such a big fan of Versus. I think it's such a great way for everyone to, like, connect and escape a little bit, go back in time, kind of reminisce. And again, I keep saying, I really hope they turn these into actual concert series when we can all get back to going to concerts, not just certain cities. No shade, but y'all, we are in a pandemic. Yes, I loved it. I thought it was great, and I loved all the memes too. Cause, you know, Bay Area folk are very particular. Y'all like each other, and then you gotta feel out everybody else. Like, and then if you're like approved, then you're kind of accepted by the rest of, like, not even just Bay Area, like all North Cali is like a specific, like, y'all have very specific, like, real one qualifications for rock. If you get proved, you're good. Like, I'm like, oh, you mess with them? Like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Say I'm lying.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But I didn't realize this, but, like, Detroit, like, well, E-40 was saying how Detroit and Bay Area rappers are, like, cousins. And I can see that. I didn't realize how many Detroit rappers sound like they're from the Bay. So,
yeah. Although, Detroit is, like, they're kind of similar with the cards and, you know, Bay Area, like, to fix up the cars. It was a good time. I mean, I knew it would be, but it was a good time. It was nasty. I'm like, oh, sorry. I ain't all, you know, I thought we were nasty.
Oh, no. They're a whole other level. Here. But I'm like, if y'all know about the hyphy movement, you do now. So,
no, it was great. Well, Merry Christmas if I don't see you. You know, maybe take some fake holiday shots today. It could be like your Christmas card. I've been wondering if I do like a single no pets Christmas card in my house, digital Christmas card for everybody. But then I felt like I was leading too much.
I should, huh? Got my little tripod. Get some cute shots in.
Get some cute pictures in. Why not? You know, we just stuck in the house. Ain't nowhere to go. People hit me up like, "Oh, y'all good out in Cali?" I'm like, "We go home. We go to work and home. We go right home. Occasionally go to the grocery store if the Instacart delivery people are booked up. That's about it. So
that is about it. But everybody else is like open. My cousin in Atlanta was like, "Yeah, we open out here." I'm like, "I don't know about that life. Like outside, like what?
I don't know what outside is. I don't know what outside is." I truly do not, but hopefully we get through this together, healthy and safe. That's all that matters. And as we talked about at the beginning, can't be counting on people in charge. So yes, we gotta do it ourselves. But Merry Christmas, sis. You're the best.
Thanks so much for listening to the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast. Hope you guys have an amazing holiday week. Hope you're safe. Enjoy your families. Merry Christmas. Hope you've had a great year considering 2020. We'll get through all this together. Make sure you stay healthy and follow us on YouTube, Spotify, SoundCloud, iHeartMedia app, Apple Podcasts, however you listen to the podcast. You can also follow at Maybe I'm Crazy Pod. Enjoy Taylor Talks on social media. Have a very, very Merry Christmas.
Maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm not. Ooh.